are listening to a production of WRCT Pittsburgh. Any opinions expressed within are solely those of the participants and do not reflect the views of WRCT Radio Incorporated. Questions and comments can be addressed to the Public Affairs Director at pa@wrct.org or by calling 412-621-0728.
Well, all right. Welcome back to the buggy program.
We lost Will and Jen, so we no longer have a moderator, so we're going to freestyle this. Pacello, I think we decided we're going to talk about some histories.
Oh, yeah. Let's go about some histories. I mean, if we look at any other thing that this campus does, we're looking at this will be the 93rd buggy race.
Not technically. 93rd year. But we had that break in the 40s for the war.
All right. Well, discounting World War II and the, you know, baby boomers.
This is a history talk. We have to be
precise. Yeah, we got to be precise.
I'll Tom Wood whip me, I guess, if I get this wrong. But, I mean, if we look at it, a lot of things that we talk about on race day, or as Will talks about on race day, along with Jake Moen and Jess Thurston, will be buggy rivalries, buggy history.
And Andy Bordick, as I've heard.
Bordick is doing it.
From what I've heard, they're doing a Paris thing where it's like Jake and Jess are a pair and then Will and Bordick are a pair.
Okay.
That's adorable.
Yeah. That is. That's so cute.
But, I mean, we look at it. I mean, Booth in itself will be, I think it's its 98th or 96th year doing Carnival. But... they've moved around a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, but the buggy course has always been the same.
Is that true?
Mostly. It's been in the same area. The exact alignment of the roads have shifted, but it's been the same definitely since the early 70s.
So for, you know. Yeah.
Well, the other thing is you can't count it as the same course once it's been repaved. It's
right.
Almost like it's
right,
a different
right,
animal,
right,
you know. Right. It's completely different animal.
Is this some of the Odysseus' ship stuff? Yeah. Like, if you rebuild the ship with different parts, is this a new ship?
But there's a lot of history. There's a lot of individual team history that does a lot. And if we look at it, we can literally just go through the alphabet of teams and talk about their individual histories and how different they are. Because every team that we have is different. We are now welcomed by Jerry, the an ex chairman.
CIA advisor, right?
Hello, everyone. I was chair of CIA last year. My name's Jerry Carlson, and I'm here to join these guys in our serious discussion about the sport of buggy.
Yes, and if you are just joining us... in the magic hour of buggy, we have Josh Hickson, who is the current chairman of Sweepstakes. We have Jake Reed, who is the safety chairman of Sweepstakes.
Hello.
We have Ben Cohen, or Broco, as we call him.
Do we?
Oh, well, we do.
Some people do.
And by we, I mean
you.
The royal we.
Mostly Pacello.
Yeah, mostly me. From the previous chairman of SIGEP. And I myself am Anthony Pacello. I was chairman last year. I'm head judge this year. So right now, we're just going to get into talking about team histories. So we have a few different organizations here. Let's talk about, we'll start with Fringe, working our way around the table.
Okay. Where you want to start? From the beginning?
1969.
Going all the way back to 1969. First year Fringe formed as... They're called, like, the International Club or something like that. It was something weird. It wasn't Fringe. But they built this buggy called Leroy.
Yes.
And Leroy Jenkins?
Not Leroy. This was way before Leroy Jenkins. But I'm sure this Leroy liked chicken just as much. Because this buggy was a bicycle, one of the bicycle buggies, open frame, just low metal bicycle with a big giant metal push bar coming out the back, and some dude with what looked like a football helmet and some safety goggles going head first down the course. So that's where Fringe started. And Fringe was actually started by a bunch of architects. So in the 70s, they had these really strange steering cantilever designs. I think one of the buggies was inspired by Falling Water or something like that. So yeah, awesome. Because Falling Water is really fast. But... You know, Fringe kind of carried on in the 70s and the 80s and kind of died off in the late 80s, early 90s. And, you know, in all that time, nothing too remarkable. you know, made day two a few times, I think, but, you know, never really got up there. Then in 98, we had a strong revitalization, built a very interesting buggy named Brooklyn, which actually you sit down in, like you're sitting in a chair and stick your legs straight out and your head's up. So it looks like a shoe going down the course. It's a very, very interesting buggy. But then 99, they got their stuff together and built a buggy that actually worked really well and went for a title shot in 99, didn't miss it because of a spin, finally got their title in 01, and ever since then it's been a strong powerhouse building really solid reverse trikes and just super fast down the free roll.
Now we talk about reverse trikes. There are a couple different terminologies we're going to use tonight. Reverse trikes and standard trikes. Josh, why don't you explain the two since you brought it up?
Yeah, well, standard trikes are standard because they're what you expect when you think of a tricycle, one wheel on the front, two wheels in the back, like your big wheels when you were a kid. But so reverse trikes are the opposite of that, two wheels in the front, one in the back. Front wheels steer, generally I think I can say that front wheels steer yeah. are all buggies. I don't think I'm giving away too many secrets that way. who knows?
We have three wheel steering on our buggy. So.
Whoa. That's impressive. They're all levitate too.
That's right. The magnets are, you know, out of this world.
Whoa. Don't go talking about the magnets. You don't need everybody to know about the magnets.
First you got wrenches, now you got magnets. What else is next?
So legit.
Well, I hear the Stargate is now working. Ooh. So once the chevrons are in place, watch out.
Okay, we've hit a new level. Let's go back.
Jerry, let's hear from you.
Okay, so CIA, the Carnegie Involvement Association, was founded in 1969 by a bunch of dudes on the sixth floor of Morewood E Tower. They wanted their own buggy team.
Morewood was around back then.
Yeah. It was probably the new dorm back then.
Okay.
So their very first year, they were 6E buggy, and they built some, you know, plywood box they cobbled together. The next year, they sort of restructured as Carnegie Mellon Involvement Association originally. I think the story is they wanted to have the name CIA and then decided to figure out an acronym to fit it. So back then, you know, Fringe was real small. CIA was real small. SDC, originally Men's Dormitory Council, was real small. It was the sport was dominated by frats, as it had been for the first 60 years of its existence. Yeah, yeah. And CIA was actually the first independent team to win the sport. In 1981, we won men's, and in 82, we won women's. CIA was, you know, the big advancement we brought into the sport, according to our alumni, is female drivers. We were the first team to put girls inside the buggies because, hey, maybe they're smaller, maybe it's easier to push. I mean, the buggies back then still weighed 75 pounds, but it was a pretty big advancement. And we had a period of, you know, there was a, throughout the 1980s, we were one of the top teams, kind of tapered off in the 90s. After a race in 95, the org ceased to exist for a couple of years, but was sort of kickstarted back to life in 98 by one of the, there was a member who had been a freshman in 95 and as his, you know, as a senior, wanted to refound the org, restart it, get it going again. Pulled a couple of old buggies out of retirement, wrangled his housemates into pushing, and they got CIA came back to race day in 98. And since then, we've been we haven't really been as competitive as we were back in the day, or any of the other top teams on campus. We've been more oriented on having a good time instead of, you know, focusing so much on performance that everyone hates it and wants to leave. Because that's kind of, that's, thank you, Jake. That's
God bless you.
Yeah, Gesundheit. That's kind of what happened to us in the 80s. We were so focused on winning at all costs that it turned us into really bad people. Nobody wanted to be in the org. It kind of just fell apart and stopped being fun for everyone involved. And then once we stopped being good, that whole, you know, performance over everything else was unsustainable. There was really no point to it. So since then, we've tried to keep a better balance of, you know, performance and fun. We've had big years. We've had small years. The org almost fell apart again. Well, not quite. It got pretty small in like 2008, and since then we've had a bit of a rebound. We're pretty big now. We're arguably one of the biggest teams on the course. We roll probably the most buggies on race day. Mm-hmm. Average. Oh, yeah. Biggest. I know. Yeah, they're pretty big buggies too, Pacella. But or that. But we've been improving in recent years. We've been making day two now, and we hope to climb up in the standings a bit more.
So AE Pi Buggy is...
Oh, you started out with CIA, Jake.
Yeah, briefly.
So did Brieger, but if he's listening.
Yeah, so did Brieger. Hey, Brieger.
You know, yeah, Brieger's his own thing.
Hi, I'm John Brieger.
So AE Pi Buggy came about pretty recently. The records I have seen have AE Pi showing up initially in the late 90s with a buggy by the name of Giant Eagle, which is exactly what you are picturing right now.
Oh, my gosh.
After that, there was somehow acquired a buggy by the name of Camo, which came from Signew. I've heard
we all know about Camo,
so many contradictory stories about
everyone
Camo.
Knows Camo.
We could have a whole 15 minutes just on Camo. Oh,
man. Yeah, we
I've heard
the
Camo
that
was. I've heard Camo won in 1985. I've heard Camo was built in 1988. I've heard that AE Pi purchased Camo. I've heard that AE Pi found it in a dumpster. I've heard that AE Pi just found it in the house when they moved in.
About the winning and building, I've actually heard something about this, that the camo we know as Camo, there was a buggy that won in 1985, and the Camo we know is a recreation of that buggy.
Huh.
That was the plans just rebuilt in a different with
a reincarnation.
Yeah, lesser materials of what I've heard.
Dubious aluminum to steel welds in there.
Yes.
No,
it can happen.
From what I've heard, going on a bit of a tangent here, Camo was originally built as Colugo, a Sigma new buggy.
Yeah.
Apparently, it started life as a two-wheeler, but that
I've
iteration,
heard that, as well.
That
I've
iteration,
heard that,
according
yeah.
to Estes, that iteration never hit the course, and it rolled out its first time as a three-wheeler. Rolled Fast may have won, and at some point went through a whole bunch of different names. It may have been called Red Lightning at some point.
It was Red Lightning at AE Pi before it was Camo.
Right. It sounds like an X-Men comic story.
Oh, I know, right? Yeah. According to CIA's head mechanic from 07, one of those wacky old alums, in like 2004, he was living in Stever and his housemates pulled it out of a dumpster.
Yes.
And it may have wound up at AE Pi from there.
Camo has the rare distinction of being pulled out of a dumpster more often than any other buggy
in
history.
It's true. It's happened in 04, happened in 2012. Yeah.
We'll just never know.
They wind up there again.
It was just trying to go home.
Yeah. So after AE Pi purchased Camo in the late 90s to early 2000s, there have since been three builds. Zephyrus, which is the bane of my existence. there is no buggy that is more miserable to drive, mechanic, and push. It's perfect for all three.
You've driven it?
No, but you can talk to the girls who have. It's not fun.
You should point the wheels the same way next time.
Thanks, Terry. Kamikaze, which is still rolling today. That was built in 2007 or 2008. That's my baby.
I thought it was 09.
It might be 09.
You just put wheels on it and it rolls.
That's right. I'm famous for a drunken rant about the reliability of that buggy.
Didn't it break the next day?
No, maybe a week or
yeah,
two
Yeah, it was
later.
Like a week later.
But did not come out of a dumpster.
No, not yet.
How is that distinction?
Kami has never been in a dumpster, actually.
That you know of.
True.
Don't really know what that means, but all right. Keep going, Jake.
After that was Aether, which turned out to not be so successful. There was massive delamination in the process of building that, and there is nothing structural about it. So that saw the course for 1 year, and then as soon as I was in charge, that was not on the course.
It's floppy.
Yeah.
It's very floppy.
Very floppy.
I've seen it. It crinkles.
Yes. So to this day, AE Pi rolls as a one or two buggy org. Zephyrus sometimes sees the course when the chairman is feeling sadistic, masochistic.
Masochistic, right.
Both of those, actually. Yeah. This year it's just going to be Kamikaze, but they got some new wheels on it. They have some pushers I'm excited about. We'll see what they can do.
I guess we can talk about SIGAP, Pacelli.
But we could.
You want to jump in? Just feel free at any time. So, I mean, you guys are talking about being new on the course, but SIGAP has only existed as an organization since 1998. That's when we got our charter. So, I believe we started doing buggy in 2001.
Around there, yeah.
The first buggy was actually the first scheduled build never made it past the foam stage. So it never actually, even made it to buggy form. So
they use foam.
Yeah. Sure. Who uses foam? I guess. And our first buggy that rolled was that Shrek.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Shrek.
I believe Shrek.
Yeah. Shrek, which is still actually around, right?
It's yes.
I thought there were some earlier buggies. Were Shrek the first one?
Shrek was, I think, the first one that was kind of it was.
I think
could
we
be called
out
a buggy.
On the course.
Yeah.
Ah.
Shrek now lives as Patriot, right?
Patriot.
Is that
Patriot,
what you call it?
And
yeah, okay.
It's painted red, white, and blue. Okay. It's perfect.
I can tell the story of that in a few minutes.
But yeah, so we always feel like we're the new guys in the chorus. I mean, obviously there's always kind of Rotzi or Delta Force that kind of come and go. But in terms of orgs that have had staying power, I feel like we're the newest. Is that right?
I would say so.
Yeah.
As far as, I mean, we look at every other big name on the chorus, SDC, Fringe, Pike, Spirit. You look at everyone else has been together at least since the 70s, mm-hmm. A couple decades out underneath their belt. SIGEP will, I mean, we've been together. Next fall will be 15 years. We've been on the course 8, maybe.
Well, yeah, actually, I can trace SIGEP's puggy history back further.
It's right. So SIGEP started as just fielding a push team for Fringe, yep. if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly when that was, but
that was like when you guys got your charter until you guys started building buggies, basically.
Right. Okay.
So, but as far as the SIGEP team goes, SIGEP was always really great at Booth, and it's a good way to build camaraderie. But we look at it as a buggy organization. We've been on the course for a few years. I feel we've been competitive for 5.
We've been competitive basically since Barracuda. Barracuda was kind of the first buggy that we had that really, at least put us in the conversation with uh-huh. the other top teams. Before that we had Messiah. We had some crazy experiments, but Barracuda, Pandora's
on the course. Yeah. Squeaky, squeaky.
What's that sound?
Oh, it's Pandora. It's the magnets.
But that's interesting that you mentioned like Barracuda was the buggy that brought you guys. It feels like all the teams that are where they are now had that one buggy took them from wherever they were especially the top teams had that one buggy that took them up from mid pack to top of the field.
Right. It's hard looking back at, we might distinguish ourselves as like, what was that one buggy that put us on the course? Mm. I mean, you could go as far as say like Pandora might have been that one because it was a decently built buggy, but it was strong. It was a tank. It still is a tank to this day. Took out a barricade at the end of the fall.
That buggy doesn't need to be like the fastest buggy. It could just be that one buggy that you're able to build that team off of because you had that one consistent buggy.
It is a fantastic training tool for new drivers, not to mention... but I feel as like that might have been our new the buggy that put SIGEP kind of on the map, not because of the way the buggy world saw SIGEP is with the way SIGEP saw SIGEP buggy.
Sure, yeah. I mean, there's any number of inflection points that you can kind of look at the history of our organization. Messiah was one, Pandora was one.
Right.
Just trying to continue that upward trajectory. Mm-hmm. So.
And you look at it now. I remember a time where last fall I ran into over the summer, ran into a girl and we started talking and I had a sweepstakes buggy shirt on. Hmm. And she asked, oh, do you do buggy? And I was, just come off of being chairman. I was like, yeah, I know a thing about it or two. and she was like, oh, I was a driver back in 2001. Hmm. And I was like, oh, fine. So we started talking and she asked how many organizations were out. And it was 13 last year, right? Or it was 11?
It was 11.
Why do I keep saying 13?
It was like 9 for a while, right?
Yeah. So there was a streak of 9. But looking back on it, back in 2000, 2001, 2000, 2002, look at it. There were so many teams that getting roles in and getting teams qualified was actually a problem. Mm-hmm. We look at it. I was remember talking to a Pike alum. I forget who it was, but they were saying how they used to have pledges go and sit at the bottom of Hill 1 and sit in places to get make sure that they had places when the rolls came out so they can get in their rolls and so that the drivers can get qualified. We look at it now and kind of laugh, like, oh, look at how organized we are now compared to the way they were back then. You look at, okay, well, that wasn't that long ago. Like, look at all the organizations that were a part of what are a part of it now and how sweepstakes is structured. There's a lot of teams that, are on that trophy that aren't here anymore, mm-hmm. Which is kind of sad, but it happens. I mean, mm-hmm. It's the way of the world, but I look at it as, like, yeah, SIGEP is, quote-unquote, you can say the new kids on the block. I mean, but you could also say that,
New kids in the top block,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. But I think SIGEP's made their mark. They've earned their stripes,
mm-hmm.
As you can say it. And I think as of last year, SIGEP earned their stripes, and now it's like they're part of the conversation of like the top four, top five, top six teams.
Right, and not just being like the top team, but just also giving back to the community in the sport of buggy. And
absolutely.
Like props to, you know, Pacella and Fritz before him, just, you know, being on the sweepstakes committee and putting in that effort.
Yeah, and we got a SIGEP driver on the sweepstakes committee this year,
right,
too.
Yeah.
Rachel Johnson, our assistant chairman, chairwoman, chairperson, gender neutral position. But yeah, so definitely SIGEP is definitely one of those teams that goes a bit above and beyond what some of the other teams do as far as the sport goes.
Now, unfortunately, we're not represented. We try to get representation from a couple other of our friends in different organizations.
Loosely is the word friend being applied here.
I will say this, friend.
You're still mad because we stole Brieger away, aren't you?
Jerry, do you have people that don't like you, Jerry? everyone likes you.
I don't think anyone likes Jerry.
Not quite as many as you, dude.
Yeah, no, obviously not.
Yeah. I'm going to talk about one of my friends. His name is Evan Moss.
Moss.
Now,
I was trying to get him here.
Yeah.
He would have been great.
Evan Moss is, he's now the chairman of Spirit. And I respect this man a lot, partly because he's chairman of an organization that is quite old, but quite established. He's also a formidable man who is, I think he's 1% body fat, and he's 300 pounds of muscle, and was mad. And I remember, last year or this past fall, he was mad we didn't invite him to move a car with his bare hands.
No, that was race day last year.
That was race day last year.
No, that
was in the fall.
That was in the fall.
Okay. Yeah. He was mad at that often.
Y'all didn't call me. And we're just like, dude, you're in the bathroom.
I pick things up. Didn't he say, like, I pick things up for a living?
Yeah. All I do is pick things up.
He could throw me through a wall.
No, he could. But the thing was, when he said he picked things up for a living, he didn't mean, like, normal things. He meant cars.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, we can. So, we're going to give a moment to Spirit and talk about them. And
this is why we think Spirit is going to do good things this year.
Yeah.
Spirit, I mean.
All you have to do is stop by there where they set up any roles and just listen to Evan Moss's post-roles, right. Inspirational speeches.
I think we're the only ones allowed in there.
Yeah, we're the only ones. I wish the rest of the campus community could hear this man inspire his team.
It should be like, you know, the NFL has like, they have cameras or microphones like in a huddle.
Oh, on the coaches, yeah.
Right. I would love to have a microphone at Evan Moss. Not necessarily, you know, have the FCC listen to it, but
definitely not. We wouldn't just for delay if he was here.
Just for us, you know, you can, you know, pay a little fee to like listen to Evan Moss's pep talk. Not only would it pump you up, but it would also scare you.
Yeah.
But you look at Spirit as an organization. I remember last year I gave them the chairman's choice. I didn't get a chance to explain that, so I'm going to explain that now. Spirit as an organization is tight knit. They're like their own little family. I mean, some of here are in organizations that are Greek or independent. And you look at organizations that are Greek, our families. I mean, we consider them our families. They're our brothers. Independents have, they're tight-knit for a reason. You look at Spirit. I have a hard time distinguishing Spirit as a Greek organization or an independent, part because of how tight-knit they are. And how they act on roles and on race day. They're very compassionate, very passionate people, not using similar words, but they're a great team. And when, you know, one thing happens, the entire team is affected. That's why I'm really excited to see how they are on race day and just how everything goes. They're a great team. They're great people. They're really nice, but they're also competitive.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know. Don't let them being nice meaning, oh, we'll take them for granted. No, they'll you know, you'll be eating their dust by the time you realize you've, you know, heard the starting bell.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, I always respect that. You know, they just seeing them, they always have, you know, the best cheers and the best, like, kind of team spirit. And, you know, win or lose, especially last year when they kind of had some trouble on race day, they were still in the best of spirits and just there to have a good time.
Their
and,
truck is the party truck.
It always is.
That's the dance party starts, right? The spirit truck.
Oh, yeah.
I get down the spirit dance party. Let's look at some other teams. Let's go Pika. Let's talk about their new buggy.
Oh, my God.
It's great to see them come out with something like that. And Pika is one of those teams that has completely dominated the sport in the past. Like, there was a streak where they won 4 out of 5 years for like a 20, 30 year period.
Yeah, I think what happened was last year was the first time in, I don't know, 5 or 6 decades that they hadn't won within a 4 year block
of time.
That
was the first graduating class that had not seen a Pike of Victory, right?
Since like the 50s.
Yeah.
Since they took it back from ATO.
That's right.
There's no ATO anymore.
And I think it was one of the first years that they were in the top three, if
that's
I'm
right.
not
wrong. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's great to see them rebound from that, especially with RD 2013, named to be announced tomorrow at Design Comp, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. in Wagon Gym.
You should come.
All the buggies on display, RD 13 and 2013 included.
I hear you can even look inside the buggies. I've tried to get in a few.
Only the SDC ones. So don't you're allowed to look inside.
Don't push your luck.
I'm pretty sure if you try that, Darcy might tackle you.
Yeah.
I'd like to see him try to tackle you, Patella.
I don't know. I think he could be.
I would too, but I'm not going to test that.
I think at that point he could will that power to take anybody down away from his buggy.
They have an army.
They do.
I'm not going to go against that.
They're very well organized.
There's so many of them.
And I'm sure it's in the protocol
we love
to
you.
Attack people in that situation.
Yeah. We say this with all the love and respect.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I mean, we say that with respect because, I mean, yeah.
You look at what they do.
Yeah. You look at Booth, or like people may be listening to this. We'll talk about Booth, and it's like, it's one thing. It's judged. The only thing that's judging you on the buggy course is that
stopwatch.
Clock.
Yeah.
Not the stopwatch anymore. We use a stopwatch.
Electronic timing, whatever. Yeah. It's a figure of speech.
Yeah. But no, you're right. It's the stopwatch. It's the clock. It's, you know, it's how hard you work will show. You know, it's not like, you did a pretty good job. You should win this year.
Yeah, and it's hard to find a team that works harder.
Works harder, has more discipline.
Yeah.
It's just unreal.
Their efficiency is amazing. Their teamwork is amazing. Their effort is incredible. Every single weekend they're out there.
Yeah. I mean, I was talking.
They never have a bad day. They're always on top of their game.
Well, if they mess up, they'll have a bad day.
Yeah, but they always rebound from it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, immediately.
I remember I came to truck weekend and just to go over things, and I was using SDC as an example. And I remember pulling aside Mike Darcy, the head mechanic, and I wanted to make sure that I used SDCA as an example, not because they were just standing there or whatever, but they were good examples of everything else. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, if something happened on race day and someone wanted to know about it, most often enough, like some teams will be like, okay, we'll go with it, or like sweepstakes will let us know. SDC is the type of team that won't wait for everybody else. They're not going to wait for, they want to know what's going on because that's going to affect them. Because they have that strict schedule. And, like, that's what you say. Like, you know, like, oh, that strict schedule. Like, people will make fun of SEC. SEC wins. So you can make fun of them all you want. They're the ones carrying home that trophy.
Yeah, they're laughing all the way to the award ceremony. So.
Yeah. And back with both trophies, which they did last year. And I remember Melissa being carried, partly because you wouldn't be able to see her behind the trophies.
Yeah, it's as big as her.
Yeah. But I just remember there's a picture with Mike Darcy and Melissa, and I think maybe Wade, because he looks like Darcy. I can't tell him apart.
Same guy.
Yeah.
Darcy has glasses.
He does. But I just remember, like, you see, like, you know, SDC Sem Mechanics, like, holding the two giant trophies. I had trouble carrying one of them, but, like, you know, you see them. It's like, you can say anything you want about SDC, but at the end of the day, they're carrying home that trophy. Mm-hmm. So if you want to talk anything about SDC, you should be holding that trophy instead of them.
Sorry, go ahead.
There have been times at Rolls this semester where I've learned things first by standing near somebody with an SDC radio.
Yeah. Well, they have better radios than sweepstakes. I'm pretty sure the FBI doesn't have good as good walkie-talkies.
They just have eyes everywhere. Yeah. They have eyes on everything. And it's you know, I actually have gone to Darcy a couple times. Like, I'm not really getting a straight answer from Radio Club. What's really going on down there?
So, yeah. Well, more often than not, like, I think we touched on Ben, did you want to say something?
No, go ahead.
Okay. We talk a lot of things about Buggy. We talk a lot of things about Buggy. And a lot of things that we say are the vocabulary that's indicative of just Buggy. You're not going to hear it anywhere else. I remember it took my phone like a week to get used to me saying that, like me texting the word shoot.
Yeah.
or something like that. Or, you know, you look at it and you're just like, this isn't a sentence unless you're talking about Buggy.
Yeah, I told people I'm going to go to capes, and they're like, why are you dressing up in capes? I'm just like, no, don't worry.
It's CMU people.
It's a buggy thing.
Yeah. Oh, it's a buggy thing. You wear capes.
Yeah.
You push this buggy.
I mean, CIA does sometimes.
They used to.
Yeah,
you used to. That was like a thing 3 years ago.
Actually, my question was, so I haven't been around this year, but, you know, we've been talking about all these old organizations who have been around forever, but, you know, part of being an advocate for buggy is trying to encourage new organizations to join. Mm-hmm. So having not been here, has everything been pretty smooth for, you know, new Naval ROTC and some of the new
orgs? Well, it was a tough time for ROTC this year. Because they got the buggy before they got a driver, so they're trying to find a driver, and drivers kept bailing on them, and they had trouble nailing down a driver until literally the weekend before Truck Weekend. And we got them caped immediately and got them out the weekend before Truck Weekend. We were like, you know what, I've never seen a team qualify in 2 weekends. That's 15 rolls in 2 weekends is kind of absurd.
It's impressive.
It is impressive. And we're just like, you know what, we'll do the best that we can for you guys. You do the best that you can for us. Let's keep, if everybody goes as smooth as possible, we can make this happen. And so they really nailed it. They worked hard. They got the buggies up. They got around the course smoothly 15 times. And so it's...
Yeah, best of luck to them.
Yeah. And Apex, the sophomore team, started new last year. They took a while to get out in the fall because they're still finishing up their buggy that they started building last year. But once that buggy got out, once they got out in the fall, it was just smooth sailing for them. They were nailing their roles. They had no incidents. It was just like clockwork with them.
They've been doing great. It's really impressive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but by the same token, there's been a couple teams that have kind of, you know, lasted for a couple of years. If you look at, you know, Cap Sig or Delta Force, or I'm trying to think of some of the other ones, but
there was that KKG.
That's right,
ZBT team
that lasted for a year. I mean, there was other circumstances.
I think we broke that buggy with a sledgehammer.
Right.
I heard a tree fell on
it.
I've heard that from more than one source.
Yeah, at some point the push bar got broken off, and it's now in the same basement as Camo.
Yeah,
that poor thing.
Is it down in Stever? Is that the buggy that's abandoned?
No,
in
no, that's in the basement of house called Moorhood. I had the ignominy of living there last year. The basement's full of dead buggies. It's kind of it's very funny.
That's horrifying, actually.
Yeah, it's horrifying. It's great.
But yeah, but I feel like that just speaks to that, like, how hard it is to run a successful buggy team and just how much manpower it takes. And I guess, you know,
I mean, ROTC's been doing it with like a skeleton crew. I think I think they only have 7 people who they got their driver, their 5 pushers, their chairwoman, and I think 1 or 2 other people, and that's it.
The mechanics.
That's it. That's all they got. But they show up and they do it, and I think all of them come out to rolls, and so they have, you know, 100% attendance.
Yeah.
But they're the only team that has that. But
they have very good discipline.
Very good discipline.
Yeah, I think they're the only team that might be able to match SDC's level of like precision and hierarchy and clockwork and just structure, you know, knowing what to do and who's in charge.
Yeah, it'd be great to see what they can do with a fuller team
with
more people participating. I think they're going to have a good showing this year, and I think that's going to inspire some people in our organization to try to step up and work at that too, to get that team up to a different caliber.
The fact that they're going to actually roll on race day this year is going to give them a lot of momentum. Mm-hmm. It's going to get them all excited. Mm-hmm. I've been talking with their head mechanic. He's saying they're interested in, you know, starting a build next year. I keep telling him you'll get as much help as you ask for.
Mm-hmm.
I've had the interesting position of being actually pretty intimately involved in the founding of both Apex and ROTC Buggy. I was working with the Apex guys from the very start of last year. A couple of them actually were in CIA before they, you know, left to start their own team because they lived with all the other guys. But, you know, seeing both of those teams struggling for weeks, months to get started really does reinforce how hard it is to start a team. There's so much knowledge you've got to pick up. You know, you have to learn the language and you have to, you know, get adjusted to the schedule, get rid of your weekends, and then just acquire all of the things you need.
Right. There's so much that we, like, kind of being experienced teams, we take for granted. Like, oh,
absolutely.
You didn't know that? Like,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's hard for startup teams to really just gain that baseline level of knowledge even. So.
Yeah, wait. Mm-hmm. Everybody doesn't know where to buy carbon fiber?
I just what do you mean?
Pull that off the shelf.
Yeah. Like, it's on the shelf above the breeder blender.
You guys don't know how to treat wheels?
Yeah.
What?
Oh, God.
What's carbon?
That's a good question. I'm a philosopher.
This magic black stuff.
Atomic number 16, I think.
Yeah.
No.
All right. What some of the other teams? Let's go with Cignu. Cignu. What can we say about Cignu?
They always have a great free roll.
They do.
It's always and the uphills that, you know, if they had – it's every year. If they had uphills, they'd be
And you know what? This year, from their driver has been telling me that the pushing has felt very fast. And I don't know what that means, but she says the pushing feels very fast. I think some of the time – I've heard that some of the times speak towards that. But what's so funny? They're all laughing about something.
Sick news driver is what's so funny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Miss Molly Hall. love you, Molly. But no, she, from what I've heard from their alumni who drive the follow car, who drive from Detroit every weekend for roles to drive follow car for Sick New.
He has perfect attendance so far.
He does.
I think he has better attendance than his head mechanic.
Yeah.
He has better attendance than Sick New so far.
he was last year's head mechanic slash driver, Mr. Mike Serebrennikov. He tells me that.
Russian Mike
tells me that Molly has nailed the line and feeling really confident with her rolling. And I've heard that their hill one is strong, and at least their hill three or four is really strong. So I think they're going to be a team to watch. They're going to be a team that surprises a couple people, I feel like.
Yeah. And as always, they have the best wheels on the course.
Oh, absolutely.
the immortal words of every Sig New: your wheels suck.
They keep telling us
true.
That.
Go, yeah.
Ever since
ESP. If only we knew what the secret was.
Yeah, ever since ESP back in the 80s.
Green.
Back in the 80s with that Sig New Pica rivalry.
Oh, man.
Where Sig New took the title a couple years. That was, I wish I was around for those times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Black on black bogeys all around the course.
The fastest color.
Yeah.
It is the fastest color. I remember overhearing from I was asking a Pica mechanic last year, are you repainting your buggy? Yeah, it's not black enough. I was confused. I was like, what do you mean it's not black enough? Well, we need to make it faster. We need to make it Pica black. It's the fastest color in the course. I was like, okay, like I can't dispute that because record.
So my question is, RD 2013. It looks like kind of shiny for Pica.
It's glossy.
Is that a new thing for them?
If you look, there's actually a paint job. They've got a thin stripe of matte black that runs from the bottom of the windshield, curves up to the push bar.
Okay,
they're not completely ditching
the matte.
Yeah, when it showed up, they had the two different blacks, and the head mechanic turns to me and grids, and he says, well, we wanted to put a pattern on it, but it had to be black.
They painted it black on black. That buggy is frightening.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's...
I saw that come out, and I'm like, they're back.
That was creepy, Jerry.
Yeah.
It definitely turned heads the first time it rolled up hill one for drops.
Oh, yeah.
People were coming out there, poking their heads out of tents and building, just like, what is
that? Is that the new SDC buggy?
No, that's a new Pica buggy.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be funny if they painted it yellow. It'd be like, who has a better yellow trike? But I can't see a Pike pushing a yellow buggy.
Apparently Darcy was flattered.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they would go after Malice.
Oh, yeah. I guess that's true. Even though Bane's their whole A-team now.
Is it? This year? Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, so
I think it's because of the driver. I don't know.
Yeah,
they're pretty much equivalent.
Those buggies. The difference between them is the color.
They've got some sort of big machine in there. They can just stamp them out like make one every year.
it's shocking, like how identical you can do that. That's just,
right.
Are they not sponsored by Skittles, or is that just
Chaser Rainbow?
I would say so. So Jerry, the rest of us had to make predictions for this year.
You missed that.
Yeah,
top five.
Now you're
alignments.
On the spot.
I wish I could have been there.
Come on. What do you say?
I'm not going to be vain enough to put CIA up there. I think maybe we're going to be
celebrate
something like that. First place. I want to hear you guys' predictions.
No.
Okay.
Well, it was CIA.
Of course.
CIA.
A3D is my top five.
A3D top five. Good job, Jake. No. Okay, so I'm thinking first place. You're all looking at me like this.
It's your turn.
Yeah, okay. So I think in first place is probably going to be SDC.
Shocking.
I know, right? If I had to – second and third place – I'm thinking second place might be Pike. That buggy looks very fast. Fringe in third. Just top five or what?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. You can do top 30, but it'd be ridiculous.
Who's going to get 19th and 20th?
19th and
20th.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be a toss-up.
Cover the spread.
Yeah. Okay, we got SDCA, Pike A, Fringe A, then SDCB, then SIGEP A, followed pretty close by Spirit A. Okay. That's what I'm thinking. That's
women's?
Pretty reasonable. Oh, women's. SDC sweeps everything again. No. I don't know.
Probably pretty, you can't probably say SDCA, then SDCB, then SDCC. That's not allowed.
Yeah, because that happened already. I don't know. Probably pretty similar to that. Hard to say.
For women's, I think we all kind of agreed on SDC Fringe. Or you guys said SIGA could get second.
No. I'm not going to make a prediction, but yeah. I think they're going to surprise some people. Yeah.
But it was basically SDC 1-3-5. And then, then there was some combination of Fringe, Pike, and SIGA in the middle.
Right.
And 2 and 4 was basically what we
SDC
thought was
Fringe, go. SDC Pike, SDC.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
I mean, I've seen the SIGA women's team. They've never come out in like full force before. It's usually back hills or like they'll try front hills. But in all honesty, like they're all athletic, awesome girls that will come out and like they will surprise you.
Yeah, I'm really thinking we're looking at a non-SDC queen of the hill. I definitely think that's a strong possibility this year. The
field is open for it now.
Oh yeah, with Crystal gone.
With Crystal.
She's gone. Women, step up to take the crown. I want to see it. It's gonna be exciting. And I don't even know if King of the Hill. I've been watching.
I have no idea.
Yeah,
that'll be interesting. Yeah. I mean, because we've never actually seen consecutive hill one full times. I mean, it's more or less like some teams may start off like halfway up the hill, or they'll start
rolls. Yeah.
Yeah. Or
maybe
like
push practice, right?
Yeah. Most times you see great hill ones are at push practice. Mm-hmm. And that's only like maybe one or two teams, and like no one's really paying attention unless that's your team.
Mm-hmm. There was none of the normal banter during heat selection about what's your hill one time? There was none of that.
I heard it. I heard it was like dead silent, and then over in like 30
minutes. We finished heat selection in 40 minutes.
Got to be a record.
It was ridiculous. I was like, aren't you guys gonna
king of heat selection right now?
Yeah, I'm like, aren't you guys gonna like ask questions about each other?
Aren't you guys gonna like complain about whose heat you don't want to be in? Like,
yeah, no, there was none of that. Oh, I don't want to roll with this person. I won't roll with that person, which is more support to me saying there isn't any strong storylines because everybody's just living harmoniously. Kind of, it seems like
not quite,
but the surface, it's.
I think the big storyline is how many men's teams SDCA women's beats.
That's always a big storyline.
Over under half of them.
Yeah. let's see. They rolled like a 230.
230 last year, right?
Yeah. I mean,
and that was in basically rainy conditions. That was terrible.
Yeah.
Day two was
miserable.
I'm not sorry for that.
That would put them around like between 15 and 20th in the men's heat. So.
Does that qualify them for design comp?
No.
Gotta make it second day. Gotta make it second day.
But it's top third, pretty much equates to second day, because there's like 30 teams.
Yeah, top third. But, you know, closest makes top third is. Do we round up or down?
Let's round up.
Let's round up. It's 10 teams.
I mean, top 30 is probably what, 225, 220, somewhere in there?
Oh, yeah, to make it. Definitely. You know, your 10th spot, you're looking at 216 to 218 is traditionally where that 10th spot is. So you got to break 220 if you're looking for second day on the men's side. Women's side.
Anything under 250?
250, probably, that sounds about right.
It's probably
you
safe.
Got 230s up the top, and then, you know.
230 to be contender.
Then the 240s fill out the 3, 4, 5, 250 squeeze in at 6 spot. But now we got top 8 women's this year.
That's right.
New for 2013.
Yeah, why did you do that, Josh? For everyone's sake. Normally we have a three heats, two women's per heat. So we have the top 3 teams.
Yeah, so it's the top 6 women's traditionally.
Yeah, and then we have the top 10 teams for men. Yeah. So why did you
audience? I was looking at it last year because I was looking at it last year as Fringe chairman and looking at – we had 29 men's heats and the top 10 made it. Or 29 men's teams, that was 10 men's heats. And the top 10 made it. And I'm like, okay, 10, numbers make sense. Then I look at the women's teams and there's 7 women's heats but only the top 6 make it. So I'm like – so you could win your heat and still not make it a second day. And there was something that just that didn't sit right with me, that you could win your heat and not make it a second day. If you're on the men's side, if you win your heat, you're almost guaranteed to make it to second day. And it's very rare for we split them up into groups. So a group 2 team to overtake a group 1 team in the heat. That's just the way that we set it up, that basically the winner's heat is the second day. And so when I'm looking at the women's side, I'm like, this doesn't seem right to me that we're depriving
a group one team.
A team. And you know what? And so I'm like, you know, if we're gonna make it seven, might as well make it eight, so we have two per heat. So I'm like, okay, this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna have the top eight women's move on, and then we'll have four women's heats on day two. That will give ten more girls a chance to push on day two. And we added a fourth place women's trophy. So traditionally, it was the top three women's teams on finals got trophies, but it's the top six men's teams. So I'm like, again, fighting for gender equality. Let's give another trophy. So
Josh Hickson, such a feminist.
I am such a feminist. So that's what I brought that up with my committee, brought up with our advisor, talked to a couple alumni about it. Then I took it to the chairman. We took it to a vote. Unanimous vote. Everybody wanted more teams on the second day because the more the merrier. Let's have some fun.
Let's be inclusive. Let's let more people roll. You know. More time, so
it seemed like arbitrary numbers already. So why not change them?
Yeah.
Make it better and more impactful for everybody involved.
Oh, we've got a few minutes left here. Yeah. I think Ben brought up a good point about storylines, and I think Josh, you touched upon how everyone's living harmoniously. Seems kind of weird using buggy and harmonious.
It's no fun when people don't hate each other.
Yeah, buggy and harmonious in the same language, same sentence, I should say. Of course, it's the same language. We wouldn't understand you if you didn't. But why don't we go around the quick little round table of knights here and talk about how maybe there are some storylines that people aren't seeing that we would know just because we're in the know and we've been around for the past couple years.
I mean, definitely the spirit moving up. You know, you think that they might break into top. I think next year is their year, their standout year that they're going to break up into the top three. I think the SIGEP's year is this year, Spirit's year is next year. But definitely that trend of spirit moving up. I think we've talked about that a couple of times. But you know, you really gotta look close because on the surface you don't really see their improvement, but if you watch their team function, you see them stronger and stronger and stronger, and then it's just one day they're just going to take it to the top, and it's going to. I think that's definitely a story that isn't as easy to see as SIGEP's rise in the past few years, but it's definitely there, definitely there.
I was going to say B team's making day two because it's always interesting to see like which teams kind of have enough. You know, 10 strong pushers to get their B teams on hill two and or day two. That is, and yeah, it's. I don't know. I'm not sure if it's a good thing if everyone has their B team on hill two or day two. I keep misspeaking, but you know, it's like, is it better for the sport if there's you know the rich and the poor, or you know, would we like to see you know ideally only eight teams and everybody's best shot makes day two?
I think last year we saw. What two or three that's right, B teams? Yeah. So that's you know, we had seven different teams make it to day two, and I think that's the highest number in a while. So I think we are seeing that trend where the A teams are moving up to the top, and some of the B teams are falling farther and farther down the standings. But that is a really interesting thing to watch. I'm not sure. I don't know what direction it's going to go this year. It's totally up for grabs. That's what it was last year.
Yeah, nobody knows.
Could flip. We could have five A, five B teams in the top top 10. It could happen.
Yeah. Hasn't really been a storyline this year, but I guess it's a good thing. Nothing at all new to report with the saga of CIA and Pike learn to live together. there was a bit of elbow bumping in the spring of 2012 when the two of us kind of moved into the same spot. You know, we were going so fast around the rotation and CIA was so big that we really couldn't stage out of our old Baker Hall spot, which is like 150 yards from the finish line. So we ended up moving in with Pike on their space at the GSA patio. And aside from a little bit of, you know, sidelong glances the first day. Everything went fine after that. And we've really been getting along just fine this semester.
See harmony.
Yeah, it's really... I know, right? It's so strange to hear Buggy being harmonious. Yeah. Because cool. It'd always be like, Signu and Pike are fighting, or Pike and Spirit are fighting, or SDC and Fringe are fighting. Like, who's leaving bottles of piss outside of whose doors now?
Yeah. Well, speaking of harmony, I mean, I've heard kind of, you know, that within the teams, everything's running very smoothly, but, well, you know, as much as it can, yeah. Right? But in terms of, like, being good neighbors, I've heard there's been some issues this year. Is that true?
More like being good neighbors to the campus community.
That's right. Well, that's what I meant.
Yeah, there have been a couple noise complaints at push practice. It's we've worked really hard to try to make sure that the teams are keeping the volume down. There's been some issues with hay getting all over the place and not proper cleanup of hay, and I've been on top of people to do better with that and improper disposal of things. It has, and you know, it happens every year. We have the same group of people who email sweepstakes every year complaining about the same thing 15 years in a row, and we yeah, you know who I'm talking about. And so, you know,
after 15 years, you think they just move.
But. Right. You know, if you're going to complain about, you know, driving down the street and find a barricade every year for 15 years, maybe you should stop driving down the street. I don't know, but...
You know, or just move it yourself. It's really not that hard.
Yeah, it's... But, you know...
Well, don't move it yourself. You're going to kill it against the law.
But, you know, we try our hardest. We take the complaints very seriously. We don't take them lightly. We do what we can to make sure that we keep living harmoniously with the city of Pittsburgh. That way they keep letting us do this. Because, right. You know, it's up to them. It's their roads. They can deny us.
It's kind of a big, you know, it's a big favor that we're basically asking of them every year. So yeah.
It's kind of ridiculous for Pittsburgh to let Carnegie Mellon hold two parades a week all year. Because from a legal perspective, that's what buggy is, right? That's it's a parade. Right.
Yeah. On the permit, it's classified as a parade.
I love it.
Jake, anything to add real quick as we're wrapping up here? Anything you are, any storylines you're excited to talk about?
It's a little bit less of a human interest story like the rest of these have, but I've been noticing the death of the Zooter this year.
Oh, okay. If you know what wheels are.
So for those who don't know, Zooters are wheels formulated for scooters. Scooters by the same name, Zooter XOOTR, which is the most preposterous way you could possibly spell that. And those had traditionally been tremendous entry-level wheels for buggy teams. But there's been a recent reformulation that's made them a little bit slower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But last year we had at least three teams I can think of off the top of my head rolling Zooters on race day. And this year I think we're only going to see one because a lot of teams have realized you need to invest in wheels if mm-hmm. you're going to do well. So SAE, in addition to rolling out their new buggy, have rolled out some white compound that most teams will find familiar.
Yeah, I think the vast majority of teams know exactly. I mean, there's all this like, oh, my wheels are secret. But I'd say for half the teams, they all know.
Yeah.
I mean, most of the teams know what team uses what.
SAE's not shy about it either. They're real open about what they're doing. Their build this year, I don't know if you guys talked about it yet, but that build is tremendous. That buggy weighs 17 pounds with wheels.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
And they are putting up the entire build online.
Yeah.
Really?
It's going to be all open.
They filmed,
be
they filmed and recorded and wrote down everything. They're putting it all up online. Apex also...
Yeah,
film Apex, their entire
yeah,
build.
They're all about openness.
And
right?
CMU TV has a great spot they're going to run on race day about Apex's build. Actually, people will now get to see behind the scenes technical work that a lot of teams don't like to share.
I don't want anybody to see my build. So.
Yeah, I mean,
Buggy's about to go open source.
Yeah.
In your New York apartment, you have builds.
You know what? We talked about it. Piston and I were going to build a buggy in Queens.
Hey, no better place than Queens.
Get a storage unit in Queens that doesn't mind the aromas of buggy.
One last thing before we sign off right now is please come out the buggy. Check it out.
Do it.
I think the unsung heroes here are the drivers. They're
absolutely.
Probably the quietest. Probably because you can't.
I don't know what your drivers are like.
No, I'm talking about...
The drivers put up with a lot.
The drivers put themselves, you know, they're laying down, they go around the course at 40 some odd miles per hour, and they're probably one of the great secrets of the sport.
That's right.
Everyone sees the pushers. You don't really see the drivers. That's why everyone's surprised that they're in there.
Yeah.
But they're fantastic. Quick little shout out to SAGAP drivers. A little love here.
Antari, you're going to do great.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have the last 20 seconds, just remind everybody, tomorrow is design competition in Wagon Gym from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Wagon Gym?
UC Gym. Race day, Friday and Saturday, 8 a.m. to noon. Going to happen, weather permitting, and hope to see you all out there.